enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. I am free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. I'm traded my shackles for glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. From the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He took up the foolish child I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. I've traded my shackles for glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. Tomorrow, I'm free from the guilt of my past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free, praise the Lord.
Thank you, worship team. We welcome you this morning to Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. I hope that you sang along with us because that is God's message for us. We are free from the fear of tomorrow. We're free from the guilt of our past. Jesus has made us free. The song today that, or the message today that I have been, it's been on my heart, is a message about the gift of redemption. The gift of redemption. And I think that we sing the song many times. We sing the song that was written by Fanny Crosby, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. And I wonder sometimes if we really understand what redemption really encompasses. And as I studied about it, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, redemption has more to it than just, and I'm not playing down the blood of Jesus. Absolutely, the cross is the most wonderful story, the cross, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, and the resurrection. But there's even more to the redemption than that. Jesus had a plan. God had a plan for us when He redeemed us. And that plan was established in eternity. In ancient times, as I looked at, and we have heard the stories of slaves as they were taken to an auction and they were auctioned off. And if you read some of the stories, it just it breaks your heart to think that anybody could do this to a human. Slaves were auctioned at a slave market, and they were considered property without the right of freedom or choice. If someone wanted to purchase a slave, they went to the auction. They went there, and they evaluated, and they decided which slaves they wanted, and they established the value, and they decided what they would pay. It's sad, and I'm opposed to slavery, but there's a slave market today. There are so many people that are enslaved in Satan's bondage. And he has made them believe that they're not, they have no value. And as I was reading about this, the history of the slaves, they could pretend and they could say, I'm strong. Look at how strong I am. And they wanted to be purchased. And my wife is, so that we're not separated. My wife has strength and my wife can do this and my children can do this. And it's heartbreaking to know that they were divided many times. Or else they could appear to be so crippled that they weren't worth anything. And I think it's horrible how that they were stripped of their clothing to be examined to know whether or not they were property that somebody wanted. They had no value. They were stripped. Satan has stripped some of us of our sense of value. And he has come against us. And those that wanted to not be chosen, then many of them were just killed or cast aside. And I could not believe the price that people paid to have a slave. They sometimes $30,000 for a slave, and this is years ago. It would be several million today. But Satan has kept us in bondage. But Jesus came to earth to set us free. And I think how that the first thing that the one who wanted to purchase a slave, he had to go to the market. Well, Jesus came to the market. He came to earth. He came here to Satan's slave market, right here on earth where he's holding us bondage. And in John, the first chapter, verse 14, it said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Titus, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Jesus came here on earth and he appeared. And it was for the sole purpose of redeeming us from slavery of Satan. In John, the sixth chapter, verse 38, he says, for I have come down from heaven. Jesus said, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. God wants us for his own. And he is the light of the world. In the third chapter, the reason, verse 8, 1 John, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And then Jesus was committed to purchase all those who desired to be free. We know at the slave market, some of them, they wanted to be free, they wanted to be purchased, and there were some people, actually good people that wanted to free them if they could pay the price, and they would buy them and set them free. Well, Jesus was committed to purchase all who desire to be free. In the seventh chapter of John, when Jesus was there on the last day of the feast, he stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He said, the water, he said, ho, in Isaiah, he said, ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money to buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Even there in Isaiah, it was a prophetic word. There is no cost. Jesus pays the cost. You can come. You can be free. There are some who say, well, there are some have been decided. God says these are going to be lost and these are going to be redeemed, which is not true. That's a lie from Satan. We have that option. We can be free. We can be set free. And we can, and Jesus said, anybody who wants to. And in Luke, the ninth chapter, Jesus said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. What is that cross? It is denying the self and accepting freedom. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free of the guilt of my past. Many people cannot let go of the guilt of the past. And the Satan wants to remind you of it. He will continually throw it in your face, just like slop in your face, reminding you of the mistakes of the past. But God does not remember them. They're not there anymore. And Jesus said in the third chapter, we know that John 3:16, we know that very well. But in the 15th verse, he said, whosoever believeth in Jesus, in him should not perish. Jesus said it. If you believe in me, you will not perish, but you'll have eternal life. It's a simple process. Just believe and accept it. God's first promise of a Redeemer was found where we read it in Genesis. The third chapter, verse 15. He said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his head. Now, the ultimate seed of the woman would be Jesus. That was Jesus was going to be the seed. But she probably thought, oh, okay, Abel is the seed, and she didn't know when it was coming. But the crushing, well, God promised that eventually the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Jesus was bruised when he went to Calvary. He was bruised and broken for you and for me, that we might be redeemed. But the seed of the woman would bruise or crush the head of the serpent. The crushing is fatal. It destroys it, and that's what redemption is about. It is a fatal blow to Satan's attack, his power over us. But it's not just there. It doesn't stop just there. The promised one would come from the woman's seed, which was an indication that meant there was a virgin birth, because the woman has no seed. But he said the seed of the woman, it was God come in the flesh that was born there. Bruising is never final. It's not. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that Christ died on our behalf. He was made sin for us that we might receive his righteousness. And he bore our judgment on Calvary's cross. When God turned away from him, we've talked about that before. The wounded, the damage done to Jesus was not final because he rose from the dead. He was resurrected. We talked about that. That solidified it. It made it true. It told us. And our redemption, we look at the cross. The first stage of the devil's defeat was at the cross. It was there where Satan was initially defeated. In John 12:31, Jesus said, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. He says that this is the beginning of Satan's destruction of his kingdom. And then the resurrection in 1 Peter 1:3. Peter wrote there, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is why we have a hope. And 1 Corinthians, Paul said in the 15th chapter, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. We know that there were many, many people who claimed to be Christ or claimed to be a special prophet, that they were going to die, they were going to come back, but they've never come back. But Jesus was the one and only, and he was resurrected. And then we look at the return of Christ. This was part of the redemption, the plan of redemption. Jesus promised he would come back, and he has a plan. When Christ eventually returns to the earth, he will bind Satan and place him in the pit. We look in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 4. John says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. Now, so when Jesus comes back, there's going to be, and I'm not going to go through all the prophetic of it, but he has a plan, and this is part of our redemption. And then we look at the lake of fire. You say, well, I don't understand. This seems so harsh and so bad, but it's part of God's plan of redemption. Eventually, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. It was created for Satan, for his demons and him, along with those who followed him. The Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10 says, and when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. It's a time. I don't know how long that time will be, for a season, it says. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Scripture looks forward to the day when the serpent's head will be crushed. In Romans, the 16th chapter, verse 20, Paul wrote, "The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." The bruised heel of the seed of the woman refers to the crucifixion of Christ, as we have mentioned before, and the bruised head of the serpent speaks of the final judgment of Satan. His head will be crushed when the judgment comes to Satan. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem for Passover, he prepared his disciples. He talked to them and told them about these things. And he said, "We're going up here, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to rise the third day." And he said, "I'm going to be delivered over to the Gentiles and be mocked and flogged and crucified, and then raised from the dead." And of course, we know that when somebody went to buy a slave at the slave market, that they had to be committed. They had to decide, do I really want the slave? Am I willing to pay the price? We look here at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you remember in Matthew, the 26th chapter, how Jesus said to his disciples, "My soul," after he was at the Last Supper. And then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He was so heavy with grief and sorrow because of the cross he was going to bear. He said to the disciples, "Stay here and keep watch with me." And he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed. And he said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said, "Couldn't you keep watch for an hour? Watch and pray," he said, "that you don't fall into temptation." And that's something for us to remember as we go through this life. We need to continue to be watchful and be in prayer. And then he went again the second time and he prayed again. And he said, "My Father." And you can imagine, he didn't just pray, "My Father, if it be possible." He was in deep sorrow. He said, "If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he found them sleeping again. And then he went away again and he prayed the third time. Three times he went to God and he said, "Father, finally, not my will, but thine be done." He made the decision that he would pay the price to redeem us, to purchase our freedom. The purchase price for freedom was Jesus' blood. And in Ephesians, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Galatians tells us that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it says, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. The cross, or that pole, was reserved for the worst criminals, and Jesus became that for you and for me. They could stone them. They stoned Stephen. They stoned others, but Jesus was crucified because he had to become sin, the worst kind of sin for us. Jesus purchased us to restore us to our original status with God. He didn't purchase us to be we are his slaves, his servants, but he purchased us to free us from Satan's slavery. In Colossians, he says, the first chapter, verses 21 and 22, Paul writes, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." You are free from the guilt and the accusations that Satan brings against you because Jesus paid the price for us to be free. And then he says in Colossians, the first chapter, still 13 and 14, "He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." We are right on the level with Jesus before God. He's brought us into that kingdom, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I heard the story of a farmer who received a message. Someone came and they said, "Sir, you've got a goat that's out lying in the street out there. He's dead. He's been killed. He's lying on the road." And the farmer said, "Oh," and so he went out to check it out. And he saw, sure enough, the goat was lying there, just lying on the road. And he walked up to him to pick him up. And as he looked, he saw that his eyes were, he was still alive. But he looked and his legs were bound. They were crossed around and they were tangled and they were bound with rope. And there he lay on the road. And he said, "Well, somebody has designed that this goat's going to be run over and killed. Satan has bound many of us, and his design is that we're going to be destroyed by him, by his works, and by the accusations and the things he brings against us." And there the goat lay bound. So the man took the ropes off. He cut them loose, and he whopped him on the rump, and he said, "Get up and go home." And the goat just lay there. Didn't move. And he said, "Well, what in the world is wrong with this goat that he just lies there?" And so he looked, and he still had his legs were kind of twisted. And so he took them, and he took the twist out, and he picked the goat up, and he set him on his legs, and he said, "Go home." And then the goat's like, "Oh, I am free." And he took off, and he went home. Now, I'm going to tell you that God has delivered us. He has taken the chains and the ropes of bondage from us, and many of us are not aware of it. And we think we're still there bound, and we're lying there for Satan's destruction. But God wants you to know that we are free from the chains that hold us, and we no longer have to live under that. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has set us free. Many of those things that keep us under that bondage, maybe we keep holding on to maybe bitterness or unforgiveness or fear. All of the things that have plagued us and have taken us down, we hold on to it. But God wants you to be free. He wants you to release it. Let it go and go into his bosom. Run back to him. We can be free from hatred and resentment, unforgiveness, guilt, fear. Anything that keeps us in chains, God says, "You're free. You're free from that. You don't have to live under that anymore." When Jesus met the woman that was found to be in the act of adultery, and they brought her to him, they said, "We found her. We caught her in this." And obviously, they were looking for something to try to trap Jesus. And they said, "Moses said she should be stoned. What do you say?" And, of course, you know the story, how Jesus went and he wrote in the ground. Perhaps he wrote some of the sins that they were guilty of. I don't know what he wrote. But whatever it was, it brought conviction to them. And Jesus wrote, and then he said, "Anybody who is without sin, throw the first stone." And they left. They could not throw the stone. But Jesus said, when he raised himself up and he saw that no one but the woman saw it, only her, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And I want you to hear what Jesus said. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you." But he said something else. He said, "But go and sin no more." Sometimes people say, "Well, Jesus doesn't condemn. I can do whatever I want." Jesus didn't tell her, "Go back to the old life." He said, "Go in freedom. Go and sin no more." Isaiah, in the 44th chapter, in the 22nd verse, he prophesied, Jesus, he said, "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud. Your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Just like he told the goat, "Go home." Jesus says, "Come back to me. I have taken away all of the bondage and the transgressions and everything that Satan has accused you of. I've set you free." And in 1 Peter, He wrote there in the first chapter, verses 18 and 19, he said, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. We were born in sin." And perhaps you grew up in a home, we may have grown up in a home where we have been condemned and we've been accused and we have not had the support that would make us feel like we're worthy of anything. But he says, "You are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, not such as silver or gold, like they paid for the slaves on the market." They had a lot of money. It was a greater price than that because Jesus valued you. He says, "But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, a perfect lamb." Jesus has a price on you that he says, "I could never pay only silver and gold. I could never give that for this. The value is too great." Deliverance of humanity from its state of alienation from God has been accomplished through the death and resurrection of Christ. We're going to be united with him. There's coming a day that we will be with him. And the redemption will be fully experienced, all of it. He's coming back and he's going to take us to be with him. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't understand all of the prophetic words. It's beyond my understanding. Some of it I do. And maybe we don't all understand it. But we do understand that Jesus has redeemed us. He's purchased us. And that we can live in eternity with him. And Psalm 107th chapter. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe." Let us tell our story. We need to say, "I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I am not the person I used to be. I'm free of the fear of tomorrow. I don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen." We have a lot of people today that are just petrified with fear of what's coming. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I know who holds my future, and that he says what he wants for me is better than I could ever design for myself. Amen. Let us just bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for the beautiful price that you paid, the price of the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you for the stripes that you took. I thank you for the redemption that you purchased for me, for us, oh God. I pray today, if there is anyone today who is watching this broadcast, who does not know that redemption, who has not experienced the precious redemption by the blood of Jesus and the resurrection, that you will help them understand. God, we don't always understand, but we can trust you for your word. Your word never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word is true. And you said, if we come to you and we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nothing is too big for you. Your blood covers it all. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today, if you have made that decision to let Jesus be the Lord of your life, it's the greatest decision you could ever make. I encourage you, let us know that you have had an encouraging word, that you have made the decision to be free from Satan's bondage. We don't believe in slavery. The only person I want to be a slave to is my Lord and Savior, Jesus, and that is a love slave. We can be a love slave to him. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you be blessed. Have a beautiful week. I don't know if there's someone here today that you say, "I have a special need. I really do need prayer." Maybe you've had problems with, you've committed your life to the Lord, but you have problems with letting go of some of those things that have kept you in bondage. We want to pray with you if that's your condition. If you feel that way, it's not anything to be embarrassed about. We all go through struggles and we all have those battles. And sometimes we get down and Satan just stomps on us. You know what? God wants to pick us up. He takes the ropes and the bondage off. And if you want us to pray with you today, is there someone here today you say, Naomi, I need prayer. I really do need prayer. Yes. Amen. Okay. I know that God saw those hands. He sees you and He knows what the struggle is. And He loves you. He paid a great price. He loves you, and the devil would like to tell you, oh, no, he doesn't care. Nobody cares, and he'll throw these things, but he's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, and God loves you, and His plan is for you to prosper, to be successful. I would like to pray with you, and let's just stand together as we take these to the Lord. And if you need special prayer, you want to talk to somebody, one of the elders, or you want to talk to somebody to pray with you later, you are welcome to do that, to just ask us. But Lord, we come to you today. You saw those hands that were raised, and you see the need, and you see the hunger and the desperate need in lives, oh Lord. I thank you that you are a God who is faithful, that you love us so much. I pray that you will minister your confirmation of your love to these, and that you will minister to them and let the chains of Satan's bondage be broken. Let them understand, give them that assurance that they are free from Satan's bondage and slavery. I thank you in Jesus' name. We give you praise. Lord, I pray that you'll go with us. Give us a good day today. Let us be in your presence always, in Jesus' name. Amen.